A Tale of Two Parts, Understanding Your Inner Self. The first time Chuck wondered whether he was still human, it happened in the cereal aisle. He stood there with a box of bran flakes in one hand and a box of honey oat clusters in the other, and something inside him simply paused. Not the normal kind of indecision, not the, I should eat healthier, tug of war. This was different. It was as if the machinery of choice itself had stalled. He realized, with a strange, clinical detachment, that he could not feel the difference between the two options. Not preference. Not desire. Not even mild annoyance. Just a blank, humming neutrality. He put both boxes back and walked out of the store without buying anything. Chuck had always been a quiet man, but lately his quiet felt less like a personality trait and more like a missing piece. He moved through his days with the precision of someone following instructions he couldn't quite remember receiving. He still went to work. He still answered emails. He still nodded politely when co-workers made jokes. But everything felt like an imitation of a life rather than the life itself. The strange part was that no one seemed to notice. Not until Maple. She was the only one who looked at him long enough to see the seams. "You okay?" she asked one afternoon, leaning against the doorway of his office. "You've been different." He blinked. "Different how? Like you're here, but not here?" He opened his mouth to respond, but the words didn't come. Not because he didn't know what to say, he always knew what to say, but because he suddenly wasn't sure whether the words would be true. Maple stepped closer. "Chuck." He forced a smile. "Just tired." She didn't believe him. He could tell. But she let it go. For the moment. That night, Chuck stood in front of his bathroom mirror and tried to see himself the way someone else might. He looked normal enough. Brown hair, slightly unkempt. A face that could be described as pleasant if someone was feeling generous. Eyes that had once been warm, he thought, though now they seemed to reflect light rather than hold it. He lifted his hand and touched his cheek. Warm. Soft. Human. But the warmth felt like a fact, not a feeling. Like reading a thermometer. He tried an experiment. He smiled. The muscles moved correctly. The corners of his mouth lifted. His cheeks rose. His eyes narrowed. But nothing inside him shifted. The smile was a shape, not an emotion. He let it fall. The next day, Maple found him in the break room staring at the coffee machine as if it were a puzzle box. "You're doing it again," she said gently. "Doing what?" "Disappearing." He exhaled. "I don't know what's happening to me." She pulled out a chair. "Sit." He did. "Talk to me," she said. He hesitated. The truth felt absurd. Ridiculous. But also inevitable. "Maple, do you ever feel like you're not real?" She didn't laugh. She didn't scoff. She didn't even blink. "Tell me more," she said. And so he did. About the cereal aisle. About the mirror. About the way his emotions felt like echoes instead of experiences. When he finished, Maple sat back, studying him with a seriousness that made his chest tighten. "Chuck," she said softly, "you're not broken." He looked away. "I'm not sure I'm even human." She reached across the table and took his hand. Her touch was warm. "Alive." "Certain." "You're asking the question," she said. "That's the most human thing there is." By the time Chuck got home, the grocery bag felt heavier than it should have, as if the weight inside it wasn't cereal and milk but the question he'd been trying not to ask himself since the aisle incident. He set the bag on the counter. The house was quiet, the kind of quiet that usually soothed him. Today it only made the air feel too still. He reached for a mug, intending to make coffee and shake off the lingering unease. But as his hand neared the cabinet door, the mug inside gave a faint rattle. Not loud. Not dramatic. Just a tiny vibration, like a glass catching the tail end of a distant tremor. Chuck froze. The mug stilled. He opened the cabinet slowly. The mug sat there, perfectly ordinary, perfectly still, as if it had never moved at all. He touched it with one fingertip. Cool ceramic. Solid. Real. He set it on the counter and stepped back. His pulse thudded in his ears. He tried to breathe normally, but each inhale felt shallow, as if his lungs were trying to make room for something else, some other presence, some other awareness pressing from the inside. He turned toward the sink, gripping the edge of the counter with both hands. His reflection in the dark window over the sink stared back at him, faint and ghost-like in the glass. He lifted one hand. The reflection lifted its hand. But there was a lag, a tiny, impossible hesitation, like a skipped frame in a film reel. Chuck's breath caught. He blinked hard, leaned closer to the window. His reflection leaned too, perfectly in sync now, as if correcting itself. "Stop," he whispered, though he didn't know whether he was talking to the reflection or to himself. The house hummed softly, refrigerator, heater, the usual chorus of appliances. But beneath that, Chuck sensed something else. A second rhythm. A pulse that wasn't mechanical, wasn't external, wasn't anything he could name. It felt like a thought that wasn't his. A presence leaning toward him from somewhere inside his own skin. He pressed a hand to his chest. His heartbeat was steady, human. But beneath it, he felt that other rhythm again, faint, curious, like a question tapping from the inside. He closed his eyes. The presence leaned closer. Not threatening. Not hostile. Just, aware. As if it were trying to understand him. As if it were asking the same question he was afraid to voice. "What are you becoming?" Chuck opened his eyes, breath unsteady. The kitchen looked the same. The world looked the same. But he no longer trusted the boundaries of it or the boundaries of himself. Whatever was happening had started long before the cereal aisle. He just hadn't noticed until now. Chuck didn't mean to look at himself again. He'd only gone upstairs to splash water on his face, to prove to himself that he was still anchored in something ordinary. But when he stepped into the bathroom, the mirror caught him the way a hand might catch a sleeve gently, insistently, refusing to let him pass. He gripped the edge of the sink. The porcelain felt cool, solid, reassuring in a way his own body no longer did. His reflection stared back at him. Same face. Same tired eyes. Same faint scar above the eyebrow. Nothing out of place. He lifted his right hand. The reflection lifted its right hand. Perfectly timed. He exhaled, a shaky breath of relief. Then he blinked. And the reflection didn't. Just for a fraction of a second, a skipped beat, a missed cue, but enough to send a cold ripple down his spine. "Don't," he whispered, though he didn't know who he was talking to. The reflection blinked then, as if remembering. Chuck leaned closer. The reflection leaned too, but there was something off now, a tension around the eyes, a faint delay in the tilt of the head, like someone trying to mimic him with perfect precision and missing by a hair. He touched his chest. The reflection touched its chest. But Chuck felt it again, that second rhythm beneath his heartbeat, that quiet, curious pulse that didn't belong to him alone. The presence stirred. Not outside him. Inside. A thought brushed the edge of his mind, feather light but unmistakably not his own. Not words, not language, more like awareness. Recognition. As if something within him had just opened its eyes for the first time. Chuck staggered back from the mirror. His reflection didn't move. It held still, watching him with a calmness he didn't feel, as if it were the steady one and he were the distortion. "Stop," he said again, louder this time. The reflection tilted its head, a slow, deliberate motion Chuck hadn't made. His breath caught. His pulse hammered. The second rhythm pulsed beneath it, steady and patient, like a hand resting lightly on his shoulder. Then the reflection moved, not to mimic him, but to reassure him. A small, almost human gesture. A softening of the eyes. A look that said, "I'm not here to hurt you." Chuck backed toward the doorway, unable to tear his gaze away. For the first time, he understood the truth he'd been circling since the cereal aisle. Something inside him wasn't waking up. It had always been awake. He was the one who hadn't noticed. Chuck didn't remember leaving the bathroom. One moment he was staring at the reflection that wasn't quite his, and the next he was standing at the top of the stairs, one hand braced against the wall, breath shallow and uneven. The house felt different, not darker, not colder, just attentive. As if every surface were listening. He took a step. The floorboard beneath his foot gave a soft creak, but there was something else beneath it, a faint vibration that matched the second rhythm pulsing inside his chest. A resonance. A reply. "No," he whispered, shaking his head. "No, no, no." He descended the stairs slowly, gripping the railing. Each step hummed faintly under his weight, like the house was adjusting to him, or he was adjusting to it. He couldn't tell which. When he reached the bottom, he stopped. The grocery bag he'd left on the counter was open. He hadn't opened it. The cereal box, the one that had trembled in the aisle, sat upright on the counter, perfectly centered, as if placed there with intention. The top flap was still sealed, untouched. Chuck approached it cautiously, like it might leap off the counter. He reached out a hand, and the box gave a tiny, unmistakable shiver. He pulled his hand back. The box stilled. His pulse hammered. The second rhythm pulsed beneath it, steady and calm, like a hand on his shoulder urging him to breathe. He swallowed hard. "What do you want from me?" The presence inside him didn't answer in words. It didn't need to. A sensation washed through him, not fear, not threat, but recognition. A feeling like someone turning toward him in a crowded room and saying, "There you are," without speaking. Chuck backed away from the counter. He wasn't alone in his own body. He wasn't alone in his own house. And the strangest part, the part that chilled him more than the mirror or the trembling objects, was the quiet certainty blooming in his chest. Whatever this was, it had been waiting for him. Chuck didn't sleep. He lay on the couch with a blanket pulled to his chin, the lights off, the house still, but every time he closed his eyes, he felt it. That second rhythm. That quiet awareness. Not pushing. Not invading. Just, waiting. By 3:17 a.m., he gave up. He sat up slowly, rubbing his face with both hands. The living room was dim, lit only by the street lamp outside filtering through the blinds. Shadows stretched long across the floor. He stood. The air shifted. Not a breeze. Not temperature. More like the room exhaled when he did. Chuck swallowed hard. "Okay," he whispered. "If you're real, if you're something, just show me. Please." Silence. Then a faint vibration beneath his feet, like the floorboards were answering him. He took a step toward the hallway. The shadows moved. Not dramatically. Not like a horror movie. Just a subtle rearranging, as if something unseen had stepped aside to make room for him. Chuck froze, heart pounding, but the second rhythm inside him stayed steady, calm, almost reassuring. He walked forward. The shadows shifted again, this time more clearly, a soft, fluid motion, like ink swirling in water. They gathered near the far wall, pooling into a shape that wasn't quite a shape, a presence that wasn't quite visible. Chuck's breath caught. The presence inside him leaned forward, as if greeting something familiar. The shadows thickened, then lifted, not rising from the floor, but unfolding, like something stepping out of a place Chuck couldn't see. A silhouette formed, faint and wavering, as if made of dim light rather than darkness. It wasn't human. But it wasn't threatening. It stood there, quiet, patient, watching him with no eyes at all. Chuck's voice shook. Are you what's inside me?" The silhouette tilted its head, the same slow, deliberate motion his reflection had made in the bathroom. A gesture of recognition. A soft pulse moved through Chuck's chest, warm and steady. The presence inside him wasn't trying to escape. It wasn't trying to take over. It was answering. The silhouette stepped closer. Chuck didn't move. He couldn't. The air around him felt charged, humming with a resonance that matched the rhythm inside him. When the figure stopped just a few feet away, the hum settled into something almost like a chord, two notes aligning. A thought brushed Chuck's mind. Not words. Not language. A feeling. "You are not alone." Chuck's knees nearly buckled. He pressed a hand to his chest, tears stinging unexpectedly at the corners of his eyes. Not from fear, though fear was there, but from the overwhelming sense of being seen. Not by another person. Not by a reflection. By something that had been with him longer than he realized. The silhouette lifted an arm, slow, gentle, and extended a hand made of shifting light. Chuck hesitated. Then, trembling, he reached out. Their hands didn't touch. They didn't need to. The moment his fingers neared the figure, a warmth spread through him, deep and resonant, like a tuning fork struck in the center of his being. The presence inside him and the presence before him aligned. And Chuck understood, with a clarity that terrified and steadied him all at once. This wasn't an arrival. This was a reunion. The moment their hands aligned, not touching, but resonating, Chuck felt something open inside him. Not a door. A memory. Not one he recognized. Images flickered behind his eyes, light bending in impossible ways, a vast dark expanse humming with layered voices, a sense of drifting without a body, without a name. A feeling of searching. Of waiting. Chuck staggered back, gasping. The silhouette didn't follow. It simply stood there, patient, as if it knew this part would be difficult. What are you? Chuck whispered, though the question felt too small for what he meant. The figure shifted, its edges softening. The shadows around it thinned, revealing something like a core of faint glow, pulsing in time with the second rhythm inside Chuck's chest. A thought brushed his mind again, clearer this time. Not separate. Chuck shook his head. That doesn't make sense. The presence inside him pulsed gently, like a hand squeezing his shoulder. The silhouette stepped closer, and the glow brightened. Chuck felt warmth spread through him, not physical warmth, but recognition. A sense of something long lost returning to its rightful place. Another thought formed, not in words but in meaning. You were not made incomplete. You were made in two parts. Chuck's breath hitched. Two parts. The figure nodded, or the closest thing to a nod its shifting form could manage. A wave of understanding washed through him, dizzying and terrifying. You're not possessing me, Chuck whispered. You're the other half. The silhouette brightened, its form stabilizing for a moment, not human, but unmistakably alive. Separated at the beginning, the presence conveyed. Rejoined now. Chuck pressed a hand to his chest. The second rhythm pulsed beneath his heartbeat, steady and sure. Not foreign. Not invasive. Familiar in a way he couldn't explain. Why, he asked, voice cracking. Why was I split? Why now? The figure dimmed slightly, as if searching for a way to answer. When the meaning came, it was gentle, almost sorrowful. To survive. Chuck felt the truth of it hit him like a cold wind. Images flickered again, a world of light and shadow, a fracture, a fall, a desperate choice. A splitting. A hiding. You hid inside me, Chuck whispered. All this time. Not hiding, the presence corrected. Resting. Waiting for you to be ready. Chuck sank onto the couch, overwhelmed. The silhouette remained standing, patient, its glow softening as if giving him space. He looked up at it, tears blurring his vision. Ready for what? The answer came with a warmth that filled the room, filled him, filled the space between them. To become whole. Chuck closed his eyes, letting the truth settle into him like a long-delayed breath. He wasn't losing his humanity. He wasn't becoming something else. He was finally meeting the part of himself he'd been missing. Chuck didn't remember falling asleep on the couch, but he woke to sunlight spilling across the floor in long, pale ribbons. The silhouette was gone. The house was quiet. Too quiet. For a moment, he wondered if he had dreamed everything, the presence, the reunion, the impossible warmth. But when he sat up, he felt it immediately. The second rhythm. Not beneath his heartbeat now. Alongside it. He stood slowly. The room felt different, as if the air had been rearranged overnight. The shadows were wrong, not darker, not threatening, just attentive. Like they were waiting for him to move. He walked to the window. Outside, the world looked unchanged. Cars. Lawns. A jogger passing by with earbuds in. Ordinary life, humming along without him. But as Chuck watched, the jogger paused mid-stride. Not slowed. Paused. Frozen in place, one foot hovering above the sidewalk. Chuck blinked. The jogger remained suspended, perfectly still, as if someone had pressed pause on a scene only Chuck could see. A soft pulse moved through his chest, not fear, not confusion. Recognition. The presence inside him stirred, warm and steady. You are whole now. Chuck swallowed hard. What does that mean? The world outside shimmered just a ripple, like heat rising from asphalt, and the jogger resumed running, unaware anything had happened. Chuck stepped back from the window. The shadows in the room shifted, subtly aligning themselves toward him. Not threatening. Not worshipful. Just, attentive. As if waiting for instruction. He felt the truth settle into him like a stone dropped into deep water. He wasn't just reunited. He wasn't just changed. He was connected to something vast, something old, something that had been watching the world from the edges for a very long time. And now it was watching through him. Chuck exhaled slowly. The second rhythm pulsed once, twice, then merged with his heartbeat until he could no longer tell them apart. He walked toward the front door. The shadows followed. When he opened the door, the morning light bent around him just slightly, just enough to notice if you were looking for it. Chuck stepped outside. The world held its breath. And somewhere behind his eyes, a voice that wasn't a voice whispered, "Let's begin."